Say you were a professional window washer, and you were cleaning windows high up on one of Boston's big corporate buildings. As you squeegeed away the grime and peered through the glass into the corporate boardroom, what would you see? A group of pinstriped, cigar-smoking, back-slapping old boys? Or maybe different faces? Women, Latinos, Asians, African-Americans? And if you lowered the platform to other conference rooms and office spaces, you'd certainly see employees sitting through some type of diversity training, with some people maybe rolling their eyes, others taking it very seriously. Next office over, maybe you'd even see religious and ethnic networking groups. But as you finally lower yourself all the way down to the Boston street, does anything you saw through those corporate glasses mirror the makeup of the actual people walking around you in the city? Is the Boston workforce as diverse as the city itself? That's the question in a big takeout coming in this weekend's Boston Globe. And join us with your thoughts. Do Boston businesses do enough to encourage diversity at all levels? And what programs are working and maybe not working in your office? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now is Shirley Leon. She's the business editor for the Boston Globe, which this weekend will publish the latest issue of the magazine, Boston Diversity. Shirley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having us.
Also joining us today is Andrew Rodriguez. He's a senior manager for the Boston consulting company Deloitte, where he also heads the Boston Hispanic Business Resource Group. Andrew, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So Shirley, let me start with you. I mean, you've done quite a bit of work and analysis in terms of how diverse the workforce is in Boston today. So take us through a few of the numbers and what they're telling us.
Well, just to give you an overall statistic for Massachusetts, people of color make up 16% of the workforce, while in terms of, but they make up 23% of the state population. So we are less, our workforce is less diverse here. And I think the recession hasn't helped. I mean, minorities were hit disproportionately during the recession. A lot of them were laid off. I know in law firms, a lot of the younger hires were blacks or Asians, Hispanics, and women and minorities. And so when layoffs struck, they were the first to go.
And in many industries as well, such as construction or manufacturing, there were a large number of minorities employed there, and they were hit disproportionately that way as well.
Exactly.
Do you see, you know, in the little analogy I used from corporate boardrooms all the way down to sort of maybe the mailroom, what about in corporate boardrooms? Are we seeing, there's been maybe a generation-long effort to get those places to be more diverse in the city. Has it been working?
I think some progress has been made, but every year the Boston Club, which is a group that promotes women on boards, helps women get on boards, I mean, they come out with a study every year, and it always surprises me. There are still big public companies in Massachusetts who have zero women on their boards. Mm. And in our magazine, we talk to companies that succeeded. Who are the companies that put women on their boards? And we found American Tower, which is a wireless infrastructure company. I mean, they have a 9-member board. They have 3 women, an African-American man, and a Hispanic man. Sonesta International Hotels, which is a Boston hospitality firm, not only is their CEO a woman, but they have 4 women on their board and also 2 African-American men, and this is out of 10 people. So there are companies, and these are companies, they really go out of their way to make sure their candidate pool is broad, to make sure that there are women and also minorities in this group.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Rodriguez, you work at Deloitte, and you're also, you run the Deloitte's Boston Hispanic Business Resource Group. So tell me, I mean, underlying all these diversity efforts over time, there's been, of course, just the basic justice part of it. Like, we want to have a workforce that's as diverse as the people who live in this city and state. But I've also been reading that it's good for business. Is that the thinking at Deloitte?
Yeah, I think actually, I think it's not only the thinking at Deloitte. I think it's the thinking at a lot of companies. And I think one of the distinguishing factors is that companies need to kind of not only put lip service to it, but actually do something about it. And those that are doing something about it are actively looking at this community and recruiting very aggressively. They're also looking at the market and how they would sell their services and products to them more effectively.
And so does that mean that there's this still a gap, though? I mean, you're talking about lip service, and Shirley's numbers are telling us that maybe there is still a bit of a gap in terms of how much these diversity programs wish to work and how much they actually are effectively working. Do you see that gap still?
Well, there is definitely a gap. And in fact, for example, if we were to look at recruiting numbers from a Deloitte perspective, for example, I will say that, yes, certainly we wish we would be bringing in more people of color, more blacks and Hispanics. One of the things that we've done is we've realized that in order to be more successful there, we need to be innovative. And being innovative means getting in earlier in the pipeline of a professional's career, starting when they're in undergraduate schools and starting cultivating relationships there so that over time they get to see and learn about Deloitte, about its values, and perhaps make a determination that this would be a great place to start a career.
And is this something that the Boston Hispanic Business Resource Group aims to do, to reach out beyond just the corporate walls and actually find those new recruits and generate those relationships earlier?
Yes, the resource group actually actively works with a lot of professional associations. For example, we work actively with the National Society of Hispanic Professional MBAs and the Association for Latino Professionals in Finance and Accounting. They have very, very strong presence in the local universities and very strong opportunities to recruit those folks as well.
Let's take a quick call here. Shirley's calling from Randolph. Welcome to Radio Boston, Shirley.
Hi. I'm listening in here. I'm really glad that you guys are doing a part on this. I am the only black nurse in my department, and I work in Boston. And I also have another friend of mine that works at Mass General, and she's the only black nurse in her department. So I find that it's more geographically where you are. I find that you don't find a lot of people that are minorities in certain departments. So I don't know. I'd like to see more of that, and I'm glad that you guys are actually, you know, advocating and trying to work with people to, you know, make the workforce more diverse.
Hey, Shirley, I have a quick question for you. So, I mean, do you mind if I ask what hospital you work at?
I'm at Beth Israel Deaconess.
Okay, but
not research.
And but apparently, down the road, you're saying that, say, for example, at another institution like Boston Medical Center, there may be a more diverse nursing staff there.
Right.
Okay.
And it depends on what department you're on as well.
So it's very variable from department to department. Shirley, thank you so much for that call. Shirley Leon, it's a very interesting thing that she's bringing up here, that it's so variable even within an industry from business to business.
I mean, it is, and I think it's business to business, department to department. I think some of it is, you know, your manager, how committed is he or she to diversity? I'm sure that both of us are probably have hired before, and you know, it's hard. You have to go out of the way to find minorities. By virtue of being a minority, there are just fewer minority candidates, and you really have to go out of your way to find good candidates, and especially minorities and women. You have to have a commitment. And I would add one more thing to just jump on kind of the business case for diversity. When we were doing our board story, we talked to a director at Akamai Technologies, mm-hmm. which is a very well-known Cambridge company. And really, the reason why they want a diverse board is more diversity equals more rigorous discussion from different viewpoints. You want people to challenge each other so you can build a better company. As the director told us, you know, quote, if everyone is exactly the same, you create a fraternity-like organization where conformity and fitting in become the norm. And for corporations, that's death. So that's why it's really important to have a diversity of talent in your company.
And I think your reporting also found something interesting, that certain Massachusetts businesses want to be more diverse in their boards because their own customers themselves are growing in diversity. So they wouldn't be able to fully tap into or understand their customer base without having that same those same types of people on their own boards or on their own staffs. Alec, do you find that?
Andrew, sorry. In other words, we actually do find that. When we recruit, one of the questions that comes up quite frequently from young professionals is, well, what kind of work do you guys do in a community? What kind of corporate responsibility work do you do? And if you share with them what you do, they'll probe deeper and they'll want to know, what are you doing in their communities? What are you doing to help inner city black students? What are you doing to help Latino communities? And if you can demonstrate that there is a sincere effort and investment to build a bridge there, I think it brings a significant amount of distinction in that war for talent.
You know, let me ask about this issue of diversity training as well, because we've been talking about the corporate level and hiring. But once you get inside the workplace, I mean, I was a little tongue-in-cheek about it in the intro, that some people might roll their eyes and maybe other people think they're having flashbacks from The Office. But the truth is that the jury's kind of out in terms of the effectiveness of diversity training in the workplace. Did you find in doing research for Diversity Boston, this pullout that's coming in the Globe, that that's still a question of whether or not it's working here in this city.
I mean, I think actually, you know, rolling your eyes when you were talking about, I actually think that happens. I don't think that's tongue-in-cheek. I actually think that happens in diversity training. One of the stories we worked on was about chief diversity officers. And we found actually a lot of Fortune 500 companies have chief diversity officers or of someone at an executive level dedicated to diversity training. And but one of the things we found that it's hard to, use that position correctly in the sense that sometimes when you appoint a chief diversity officer, everybody thinks diversity is the responsibility of one person mm-hmm. and no one else. And so we talked to CDOs who talked about, you know, it's really important to get out there to get everybody involved so that the responsibility of diversity is everyone's responsibility in the company, not just one person.
Andrew Rodriguez, my mind keeps coming back to one of the initial things that Shirley shared with us, that minorities are essentially still underrepresented in the workforce in Boston. So my parting question to you, or maybe even to both of you in the last minute that we have here, is in talking to people around the Boston business area, did you find that they've got new and innovative ideas to bridge that gap, or are we still sort of struggling with the same set of issues we've always had?
Well, I think the issues haven't really changed. I think the approaches perhaps have gotten a little bit more mature. The tools at our disposal have gotten a little bit more refined, but I don't think that there's a silver bullet answer that kind of solves everything for everyone right away.
Shirley Leung, your thought?
Well, I think Boston still has a perception issue. You know, people still think of segregation, busing crisis, and I think it's hard to attract top minority talent, and there have been a lot of programs in the business community to help solve this problem over, you know, several decades, and we still have the same issues. I think for the media, I see our role as making sure that we talk to companies and we have minorities and executives and women in the paper or on TV so everyone sees that there is minority talent out there.
Well, that's Shirley Leung. She's business editor for the Boston Globe and also happens to be president of the New England chapter of the Asian American Journalists Association. Shirley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Also with us today was Andrew Rodriguez. He's senior manager at Deloitte, a Boston consulting company, and he's a member of Deloitte's Boston Hispanic Business Resource Group. Andrew Rodriguez, pleasure to have you as well.
Thank you for having us.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the life mission of one Bostonian to provide housing for the elderly. And a little later, we'll also taste some peculiar ice cream. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.